Lift up our heads this morning as we listen to God's word. I will not be going into something that is so much spiritual. I have been noticing something recently, and each time I get back, I feel a concern as to share some practical things with us as it affects our lives. Because if you don't understand yourself as a human being, you might keep suffering without realizing it. Last time before I entered into this series, I've been thinking about our next level. I talked about dealing with the issue of poverty and prosperity. And Baba made a very striking statement this morning. He said, if poverty holds you, you can run away from God and go and do something. All about it is true. Yes, it's very true. Now imagine yourself staying from morning till night, no food. You're not fasting. In the morning, no food. You have to do no food. In the night, no food. Haba. Your brain will start thinking of something else. That is true. But God has made provision for every area of our lives. Hallelujah. By the time I finish this series, if God permits me also, I will enter into that and begin to deal with it. How do we deal with the patterns of lack and poverty? And then walk in the fullness of God's provisions and prosperity. Praise God. But I'd also like to advise us to be available on Wednesday. We'll begin a series on doctrinal matters. What should we believe and how should we believe so that we are not led astray? So many things are happening. Jesus said in Matthew 24, he said, if it was possible, even the very elect will be deceived. It means it is not possible for you that has come to know Jesus to be deceived. But if you don't know, you will be deceived. Hallelujah. So begun that series. It's on Wednesday. We'll meet every Wednesday by 5:30. To listen to God's word. It is on that Wednesday we can ask questions. Usually on Sundays you cannot ask questions. Maybe except you see me one, but on Wednesday you have an opportunity of asking questions. Then we cannot look at those questions and then clear our doubts, clear our ignorances and gain understand. Because it is said that whatever you don't know is bigger than you. Hallelujah. So this morning we'll be looking at understanding the human nature. Understanding the human nature. I will not be like going too charismatic. I want to step down a little bit so that everybody can hear the words and not just the spirit. Hallelujah. Because if you don't understand our nature, some things that we think might be spiritual attacks that are not actually, and you can treat something wrongly. Yes, you can treat something wrongly. I shared the story of a lady who was a nurse in Calabar then. She was just taking drugs. She was just on drugs. She was just on drugs. She was working in the hospital. She was a nurse, a senior nurse, but she was constantly on drugs. Each time you meet her, and she was a pastor for that matter, each time you meet her, she's always complaining, "This my legs." But by the time we started looking at her mouth, it was because she has held on to something that happened to her. She lost her husband. She lost her first son. So grief and depression gripped her. In such a matter, it was not a spiritual attack actually. It was an emotional crisis she was going through. And most times, in such a circumstance, you will go to the hospital. Doctors will check you. They will take your blood sample. You can't trace depression in the blood. It is not in the blood. It is a mind problem. That just doctors talk about psychosomatic illnesses. Illnesses that the lab cannot detect. It will take a trained hand who understands to be able to read through the person's mind and then realize that this one is not a medical case, but it's a psychological case. Hallelujah. So it's been disturbing me over time, and I think I would like to start today so that today, next Sunday, and the upper Sunday, we'll look at our nature so that you understand how to manage yourself as a person. Hallelujah. You know how to carry yourself, how to manage, because there are laws guiding life. Our body has laws that guide it. Our spirit has law that guides it. Our soul has a law that guides it. If you don't understand it, you can be manipulated by other people. Praise God. You can be manipulated by others. You can be manipulated by even demons without realizing it. But when you understand your nature and know how to approach God and life and how to handle matters as they arise, the very first step to take, so that you understand why God made certain statements in the Bible. For everything God says, there's always a reason behind it. Praise God. Why we teach the Bible is to help us understand the reason behind what God said. Some things God tells us look very difficult, but when we understand why he said it and the benefit involved in what he has just asked us to do, it will be easier for us to do it. So I pray that God will grant us understanding this morning in the name of Jesus. Now, I want us to realize that the person you're seeing standing here, you yourself that is standing there, you are in three parts. You're in how many parts? Three parts. Yes. We have God the Father, we have God the Son, we have God the Holy Spirit that make up the Godhead, which you call the Holy Trinity. Likewise, when God said, let us now make man, what did he say? He said, let us now make man what? In our own image and what? Likeness. Let's go to Genesis chapter 1. Let me show us that place so that for those that are writing, you know how to put it down, and then as you go back, you'll be able to go through it again. Because if you don't understand your makeup as a person, you can be suffering some things and not be able to handle it properly. But if you understand yourself well, you will know when to consult a doctor. You know when to go for a checkup with a pastor for spiritual reasons. You will know when to relax yourself and allow somebody to talk to you who knows better. Hallelujah. So, Genesis 1, 26. Genesis 1, 26. Genesis 1, 26. Don't forget, we're looking at understanding the human nature. For today, we'll be looking at our body. Why did God give us our body? How do we carry our body? What is our body doing? So that you don't mismanage your body and then lose it before time. Because you can lose your body. Yes, your body can leave you. When it detaches from your spirit, you're dead. That is what happens. Death is when your spirit and your soul separate from your body. There is a connection between your body and your spirit. Hallelujah. Now your body can get tired and then your spirit leaves. That's when death takes place. That is when the person dies, it begins to smell. It begins to decay. Because what keeps it alive has done what? Has left. There are those who are alive, but they are like dead people. Because they have not understood their nature. They have opened themselves up to certain things. And it has begun to kill their body while they are still alive. Hallelujah. Genesis 1:26, he said, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let me stop it there. He said, well, let us make man what? In our image according to what? Our likeness. Now we say, how is God? Bible reveals to us that we have God the Father, we have God the Son, and God the what? And God the Holy Spirit. Now, likewise, you as a person, maybe with time I'll get evolved so that some of these things I will illustrate it. Now look at me, please, everybody. The person you see, everybody you see, including yourself, is in three parts. Is in what? Is in three parts. He is made up of his physical body that you can see. But that is not the real person. That is not what? The real. Because people look alike physically, but they are not the same internally. Have you ever noticed that before? Twins, they look alike physically, but they have different characters. Yes. Now, that tells you that the person inside is different. Hallelujah. And then inside, what makes you you is your soul. Is your what? Your soul. And then your spirit. And then your what? Your spirit. Now, each of these parts has a work they do in order to keep you alive and functional as a human being. Now, in Genesis chapter 2, Bible tells us that, please, if you go back, you read all of Genesis chapter 2, Bible tells us that God from the ground, he made man. Genesis chapter 2 verse 19, you will see that there. Genesis chapter 2 verse 19, you will see that. And then go to Genesis chapter 2 from verse 7. He said, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Of what? The dust of the ground. This was this thing they used to ask us to do as children. I don't know if any of you knows it yet. They will tell you, do you realize that your body smells? You will say, no, mama, I've had my bath, my body smells. They will say, okay, rub your body together. Have you ever tried that before? Now, I want you to do it. I said I'll be practical today. So, rub your hands together. Very hard. Rub it together. Rub it very well. Mama is sleeping. Rub it very well together. Okay, stop. Now, perceive it and tell me what you perceive. What do you perceive? There's another. What does it smell like? Eh? It smells like chicken excreta, chicken droppings, or what you call fowl shit. That's how it smells. Now, it was from the ground God made man. Hallelujah. Now, he made us from the ground so that we can relate to planet Earth. It is man that has the ability to relate to what? To planet. That's why I said, spirits don't have authority on Earth except they walk through a body. Before a spirit attacks a family, he will look for a covenant connection. Either he gets one of the parents to worship an idol, or gets somebody within the family to commit an evil. You understand something? And then he possesses that person before he has access to that house. Now, that's when he created man. He gave man, if you go to Psalms 8, Bible tells us that he put everything under man. And there was nothing he did not put under man. If you check, when the serpent came, or when the devil came as a serpent, he started discussing with the woman. Did you notice that in Genesis 3? He did not force the woman. He started discussing because he realized that he did not have authority. Now, there are two ways to take authority from the person. It's either you force that person to hand over the authority, or you trick that person. So he tricked man through the woman to hand over the authority before he started attacking human beings. You understand something? Now, that was why when God came, God punished Adam. He said, Adam, I gave you this earth. You understand something? What God was trying to tell Adam was that he had the right to refuse whatever the devil had to present to him. Hallelujah. He had the right to do what? To refuse anything that is presented to him. Likewise, yourself standing here. Hallelujah. In the studies of human nature, or what they call anthropology, or the history and the origin of man, human beings are known as free moral agents. They have the power of choice. They can decide to accept a thing. They can decide to reject that thing. God will not kill you for that, but God will judge you for the choices you have made. And he will allow you to suffer the consequences of the choices you have made. Hallelujah. It's like somebody, for instance, now who decides to jump from a three-story building. He says he wants to try and show that he's a strong man. He jumps from there, and then while he's climbing, he says, God, help me. God will not help. God will let him fall because he knew that anybody who jumps from there will break his leg. God will let him suffer the consequence of a broken leg so that he will learn not to jump and take such stupid risk again. You know, there are some things we blame God, whereas it is our responsibility. Hallelujah. So that as a human being, you have a responsibility under God where your body is concerned. God has given it to us as a gift. Now, when those who go to the moon, they cannot stand because the moon doesn't have air inside. In the moon, they wear what they call a space suit. In that space suit, they pump air inside and it helps them move around on the moon. When once they puncture that spacesuit and the air leaves, they become weightless in the moon. So that is how we are on planet Earth. What keeps us on Earth is our body. Is our what? Our soul dies. Our spirits do not die. They only go back to God for judgment at the end of the day. Hallelujah. That's why the Bible in the book of Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 tells us, is it appointed unto man once to die, and after that, the word judgment. Now, to enable you to stay long and then do what God has for you, and then receive the blessing that God has promised you in the course of your life, you need to be able to understand yourself as a human being. Hallelujah. You need to do what? Understand yourself as a human being. So that God created man out of the dust. That means he formed our body first. He did what? He formed our body. And then, to enable that body function, Bible says he breathed into man the what? The breath of life. And man became what? A living soul. At that point, the soul of man, which I will talk about it in detail next week, the soul of man is the real man himself. That is what makes me different from Kenneth. It makes Kenneth different from Mr. Benjamin and himself different from you, Baba. That is what makes them different. Because there is a way I think. You understand something? There is a way I feel. Something that might offend me might not offend Kenneth. Something that might offend Kenneth might not do what? Offend me. You understand something? Now, so we are, our soul is made up of how we think. And how anybody thinks is dependent on what that person knows. Now, that is why God talks about receiving his word, so that his word can form your thinking and then guide your life how he wants your life to be guided. Hallelujah. When he said in Proverbs 3, he said, my son, pay attention to my word. Incline your ears to my sayings. What he was trying to say was that if you stay and receive what the word tells you, you can go wrong and then destroy yourself before time. Hallelujah. It's like, for instance, the armed robber who begins to rob did not just wake up one day and started to rob. Somebody suggested to him the idea of what? Robbery. And because he was not exposed to a higher knowledge, he accepted it. And from that robbery, he can begin to kill. From killing, he can get arrested, and then he is shot and killed. Hallelujah. Now, we'll talk more about the soul by next week. And then, he breathed into man. Bible calls it the breath of life. Or you can call it the spirit of life that makes us live. Hallelujah. And then our spirit came from God. Everything that is alive on earth is energized by the life force of God, which is the spirit. Animals have it to live, but they don't have a soul that helps them think. They are creatures of this type. Human beings are higher than animals. We control them. They don't control us. Next to God is ourselves in the order of creation. Praise God. So that he now gave us a spirit that keeps us alive. Now, it is that spirit in us that makes us breathe. You see that do you struggle to breathe? When once anybody begins to struggle to breathe, it means the spirit is about to leave. Now, that's how, if somebody begins to pant, they hold the person. Those who know will hold the person. To steady the person so that the spirit doesn't cease to function. Because the moment that breath leaves, the soul goes with it. And then the body drops and begins to decay. Hallelujah. So now, what I want us to focus on today is the body. Is the what? The body. We begin with the body, we enter into the soul, and then we'll deal with the spirit by Upper Sunday. Next Sunday, we'll look at the soul. How do you manage our, how do I manage my emotions so that it doesn't activate sickness? Hallelujah. And so that in the event of sickness, it doesn't weigh itself down. Because the Bible tells us that the spirit of a man can sustain his sickness, but a broken spirit, nobody can bear it. Praise God. Now, our bodies are given to us by God to help us stay on earth. Well, once your body gets tired and then detaches from your spirit and your soul, that is death. Praise God. So that, now, there are three things our bodies are given to us for. Basically, three things our bodies are given to us for. Number one, our bodies are given to us for protection. For what? For protection. For protection. For protection. Your body is given to you for protection. It protects so many things. The wind blows. It's your body that withstands it. Protects you so that your spirit and your soul do not depart immediately. The first contact an external personality has with you is with what? Is with your body. And your body carries the channels to your soul and your spirit. And what are those channels? Your ear. Now these things are called gates in spiritual terms. We have the ear gate. We have the eye gate. We have the gate of the nose of the mouth. In fact, let me shock you. Every opening in a human being's body is a gate. Is a what? A gate. Hallelujah. Every opening in a human being's body is what? Is a gate. Spirits can interact with you through those gates. And there are other gates that are not open, but they are still functional. Your head is a gate. Is what? Is a gate. So that be careful how people lay hands upon your head. How people do what? Lay hands upon your head. That is why, scripturally speaking, when Apostle Paul was talking to Timothy, he said, do not lay hand on any man suddenly. Now, when somebody that has a polluted spirit lays hands on you, he transfers that pollution to you. My father-in-law in Calabar shared a very shocking story with us once. He said there was a time he almost was thinking about divorcing his wife. That was a woman who had stood with him when he had nothing. When he went overseas to study, he stopped working, left everything. He studied for the ministry, he left everything. It was that woman that was there for him for 2 years. Then he came back. But he discovered that one day he went to a man's house. And that man was also a pastor, a minister actually, but that the man had divorced his wife. Now, every negative action a man takes attracts a particular spirit to him. Are you following me here? Now, somebody that steals and has formed the habit of stealing begins to operate with that kind of a spirit. And anybody who hangs around him that is of a lower influence will easily have that spirit rub off on him or her. And the first contact is with your body. Is it your what? Your body. She said, while they were still talking, the man said, let me pray for you. Before the man could say something, the man had laid hands on his head to pray for him. He said, since that day, his marriage started having problems. So the head is a very powerful spiritual gate. That's why if a servant of God is to bless you, there are two ways he ministers to you. It's either through the head or through your palms. Or through what? Your palms. Now, on your palms, there's a gate. There's also what? A gate. Here. Open those ones and look at it. So that the body organ is not an ordinary thing. Yeah. Hallelujah. It's a gate. Now, under you, your feet, here, it's also what? That is why people will put juju on the ground. Somebody walks, steps on it. He has contact with that. You don't understand why? There's what? God said to Joshua, he said, wherever the soul of it will step upon, there have I given to you for what? Inheritance. Because Joshua carried an anointing, the power of the Spirit of God, so that wherever his legs will step on, that anointing will flow through that leg gate and then give him possession of that ground. Hallelujah. So please. Now, how do we have contact? How can we get influence through our ear gate? By what we hear. By what we do what? We hear. Every word you hear has a spirit behind it. Has what? A spirit behind it. That's why we said, I convinced him. And he agreed. Why? While I was speaking, he bought into the words that I spoke. He got convinced. Ear gate. If somebody wants to separate between you and somebody by causing hatred, he uses your ear gate. He talks words to you. For Eve to be deceived, the devil walked through her ear gate, spoke words of doubt concerning God's word. She bought into it. She ate the fruit. She dropped from where God has placed her. Hallelujah. So there was a be careful what you hear. That is why God speaks his word to us, so that his word can counter whatever negative things we have heard, and our faith can still stand strong. Do you realize that if you're feeling sick now, and somebody comes and says, this sickness that you have now, the other man had it, and after 2 days he died. Do you realize if you hear that thing, fear will creep you over that sickness. You become afraid. And you begin to anticipate death. And you can do anything he tells you after that time that he tells. Why? Out of the fear of what? Of death. Where has he walked? Through your ear gate. So be careful what you hear. Thirdly, there's the eye gate. The what? The eye gate. Pictures work like magic. Work like what? Magic. Do you realize that some of our children are getting influenced? There was a particular article I was reading. They were talking about a particular cartoon children watched, and that all the children in that school that watched it, they came under shock. They were taken to the hospital for examination. All of them came under shock. And they began investigating, how did this thing come under shock? There was a particular animal that the producer of that cartoon created. He drew the animal, and in a particular scene of that cartoon, a light flashed out of that animal's eye. Because it was at that instant of that flash of light that this student entered into a state of shock. They had to undergo medical treatment and examination before they recovered. It happened through the eye gate. Hallelujah. So that it's good to be. Now, the problem there is that you cannot most times choose what you see and what you hear. But you can choose how you treat the things you do, what you hear and you see. Hallelujah. So that it is not everything you hear that you accept. It is not everything you see that you buy into. It can influence you. Most times, without planning it, you find yourself acting after the manner of what you have heard, of what you have seen, though it is wrong. Because what you hear, dependent on who says it, the kind of a spirit he carries, it can influence you. It can do what? Influence you. So you realize that your body is not what? Ordinary. It is a contact point. It is what? A contact point, a powerful contact point. Hallelujah. So protection wise, knowing that your eyes are sensitive, your ears are sensitive, your head is, you now guard it. You now do what? You guard it. Be careful who lays hands upon your head and speaks words over it. Are you understanding me here? Because who lays her? Now, there was a prophet from South Africa, Kim Clement. He said there was a point at which he became very sick. Though a prophet, though a servant of God, praying for others and they were getting healed. He became very sick. He didn't understand what happened. He said the sickness became so bad, he went for surgery 2 times. They had to open up his back to treat him. He spent money. Until one day he was like, Abba, I have been going around. I have not even asked God. So he went to pray. God told him, do you remember the day 3 people who called themselves prophets gathered around you and demanded to pray for you and you allowed them to pray for you? He said, yes. He remembered. That he went for a minister's conference and the 3 prophets gathered around him and wanted to pray for him. And it was after that prayer that sickness started. God said, look, my friend, you did not allow me to direct you. They should not have prayed for you. Are you understanding me? See that when it is the issue of prayers, now, there is something God has given to us as his children. Let me take you to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter. This is a very serious matter because some things we suffer. They are not necessarily attacks from hell. They are contacts that we have had. You understand something? They are contacts that we have had. 1 John. Let me take you to 1 John. Let me show you something there so that in terms of who prays for you, it is not everybody that should. You should, Apostle John tells us to test every spirit. To test what? Every spirit. First John 2. But how do I test the spirits? First John 2. Let's go to verse 20. Verse 20. Verse 20. No, wait. Verse 18. 18. Read from verse 18. Okay, let me say, he said, but you have what? An anointing from the Holy One, and you know what? All things. What is that anointing? It is the Holy Spirit. It is the what? The Holy Spirit. The Bible tells us that as many as received Jesus, he gave what? He gave the power, the right to become what? Children of God. And you can't be a child of God without the Spirit of God in you. Are you understanding me here? Then how do I now, by the Spirit of God, I carry descend between what now? Kim Clements, he said, as soon as God told him that thing, he repented of it and asked God to heal him. God lifted the affliction from him. Something that he has spent money on 2 operations in the hospital. Hallelujah. Yeah, who prays for you matters. Who lays hands on you matters. Like, please, please. It is not every prayer from everybody that you should accept. People understanding me here? It is not every prayer from everybody that you should do what? There are some prayers that instead of lifting you, they drag you down. Instead of healing you, they afflict you the more. Now, the whole that anointing was talking. Jesus said, when he, the Spirit of truth, will come, he will lead you into what? Into all truth. And in Romans chapter 8, he said, the Spirit bears witness with our what? With our spirit. Have you ever tried to do anything and you felt like somebody was telling you, don't do this thing? Have you ever felt that way before? That is the same way the Holy Ghost ministers to you. Now, how do I now judge? You go to somewhere, there is prayer, somebody says, come, let me lay hands and pray for you. If you feel any doubt in your heart, don't submit your head for that prayer. Don't do what? Submit your head for that prayer. Romans chapter 14, verse 22. Romans 14, let me show you something there. Romans chapter 14, 22. This is a very serious matter. That so many have had their life, their entire destiny shipwrecked because of not being discerning along this line. This contact is through your body. It's not even through your spirit. Because it is through your body, people can now have contact with your spirit, man. Just like the man who pours juju on the ground. Okay.
God. Happy is he who does not condemn himself in what he approves. But he who doubts in
because he does not do what? Eat from faith. Okay, hold it. Whenever you're about to do anything and you are no longer confident in your heart, you are doubtful about that thing, please don't do it yet. Don't do what? Don't do it yet. It may not be of God. It may not be what? Of God. That is how the Holy Spirit helps you. Even in our ignorance, you want to take that step. You want to receive that prayer. You want to receive that laying on of hands or that anointing with oil. He says, shh, in your heart, there is doubt that comes up. Please hold your brakes. Hold your what? Hold your brakes. Don't do it. It might not be too safe for you. It might be trying to open you up to a spiritual contact that can hurt your life and your destiny. Hallelujah. Secondly, our body is for sustenance, to sustain us. I said the body firstly is for what? For protection. Secondly, your body is also for sustenance. For what? For sustenance. You are still here. We have not buried you because your body is still alive. Isn't it? The moment your body dies or decays, you're no longer alive. You are gone. Hallelujah. And you need this body to be able to get all of God's blessings for you on it. And in order for that body to sustain you well, you need to be able to treat that body. Treat it and treat it well. That is where the issue of managing health and sickness comes into play. There are two things I want us to understand. There is divine healing and there is divine health. There is what? Divine healing and there is what? Divine healing means I am sick, God heals me by the anointing or by the prayer of faith. And then divine health means God keeps me, my body is able to repel sickness. In fact, God has designed our body in such a way that your body fights sickness. Most times when sickness overpowers your body, because your body doesn't have enough immunity to resist that sickness. In fact, that is the problem the person that has HIV/AIDS has. His entire immune system is what? It's broken down. Hallelujah. And that is where the issue of taking care of ourselves comes into play. Taking care of ourselves does what? Comes into play. If God heals me today, he wants me to maintain my body. He wants me to do what? Maintain my body. If you go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, the Bible describes our body as the temple of the Holy Spirit. As the temple of what? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Ghost works through human vessels. And that vessel is our body. It's our what? Our body. Demons and devils also work through human vessels. Our body. So for spirits to operate on earth, whether the spirit of God or demonic spirits, they need what? The human body. And for us that are God's children, we are the agents of God. Yes, Baba, it's true. We are the temples of the Holy Ghost. Baba, if somebody wants to see God, that person needs to see you. You know something? If God wants to talk to somebody and you are there, God can decide to talk through you. Why? Because you are his child. You are his temple. So he demands that we sustain that body, we keep that body healthy. So that You learn what is good for your body and what is not good for your body. We all are different. We all are what? Different. Something happened to me. Well, in a boy, I had not grown into knowing all of those things. We're just eating anyhow. Some days we'll just come pour raw garri into water. You know this raw groundnut? Because then they used to have so much groundnut, they will pack it to us in the house. We'll break it, pour it, and then eat it. And when a little mosquito bites us, we break down in sickness with malaria. And most of them say it is spiritual attack. It is not. There are two reasons. One, we have not covered ourselves well. Two, we have not eaten well. Three, we have exposed ourselves. Now, there are some things you cannot rule out mosquitoes. You cannot rule out sexual flies. You cannot rule out any of these vectors of sickness. It is as a result of the decay our world has entered into. But God demands that we protect ourselves. We do what? We protect ourselves. Because God can heal you today if you expose yourself again. You understand something? You can still get infected again. So there are two things. While God has healed you, you need to believe God for sustenance. For what? Sustenance of the healing that has come. That is where the issue of divine health comes into place. Being able to repel the sickness. Are we understanding me here? And that is where God calls us to responsibility now. Now, where you are not able, God understands and He will protect you. Just like you never realized that a particular water was infected, you carried that water. Now, that is where when He said in Mark, He said, and even if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. That's where it comes into play. You did not know. But if you know that water, but you remember what we were talking about last, about water from the well. And I said, buy water, God, use it. Else, you can contact what? Typhoid. So, in case you can't blame anybody, the blame comes back to you. And God is so gracious for that. Those who don't know, He can give them a dimension of protection for that. But there's a stage it gets to where they begin to know God demands responsibility from their part. That is where the power of choice comes into play. So God expects us to take care of ourselves, to protect ourselves, so that we don't break down in sickness. Hallelujah. That is, you check what you eat, you check the kind of thing you allow into yourself. I picked water. We all know Golden College. That is where all of us around the pick water from. But you realize, when I came to Makurdi, I started noticing some things come out of my body. I began taking Fulcine. It went off, came back. I discovered, then I used to go to Calabar for a one-week seminar. When I go for that seminar and I start using the borehole water in Calabar, within 1 week, all of that thing will disappear. When I come back, it will resurface again. There's no kind of prayer that I did not pray over that matter. Each time I pray, God will be leading me to go for a medical checkup. Each time I pray, He will lead me to go for a medical checkup. I was like, hi, God. Am I not the person that prays for people and sickness leave their body? Why should I go for a medical checkup again? He was calling me to responsibility. My friend, you are no longer where you used to be. So you need to take care of yourself. Be careful what you allow into your body. You understand something? So what I did was to, after struggling with it for a long time, I spoke with one young man. He referred me to epidemiological center. I went there. The lady looked at me, wrote some drugs. I was like, I had expected people would like conduct a lab examination on me. Let me know what really is the problem. And I went to a man around them, high level, who runs a private lab. I paid him almost 4,000 plus for that test. I asked him to run general tests for me. Let me know what was wrong. He looked at me and said, well, that he will advise me that I check the kind of water that I'm using, number one. I look at my environment, number two. Possibly I am not changing my bedspread as I should change it. If I have gone to Calabar and I noticed the change without drugs, then it means there is a particular organism that is responsible for it. I should check. So he placed me on antibiotics for 30 days. He said, I should check what happens after 15 days. After 15 days, it left. You found something? Automatically it left. That is the second time I was with. Now, the other time I saw this, remember I said, over there in Ebony, we will break granite, use it to ingari. It became so rampant that we had more than enough granite. If a visitor comes, we will roast it enough for the person. If we want to cook soup, we will break the granite, grind it and cook soup. It was like everything around us was granite, granite, granite. When I came back to Calabar, my body started reacting to it. Do you realize I went to the hospital for checkup and they ran a test. There was nothing in the test. The doctor looked at me. He said, look, there is nothing in this your test, though. We can't see, but we feel it's an allergic reaction. We will place you on steroid. And that steroid was, I was so surprised. I was thinking they would like say bring 5,000 and all that for drugs. The steroid was so cheap. In fact, for the 1 week dosage, I needed only 150 naira for the 1 week dosage only. The only thing I spent was just the card. The card was 150, and then the hematology was just about, I think, 1,000 plus. The young man I met in lab, who happened to be my classmate in secondary school, he just took my blood sample and said, don't worry, I'll run it and send it to the doctor for you. Hallelujah. Now, I'm starting to explain what? Sustenance, not being able to manage ourselves. The test came out nothing because I had treated malaria. There was nothing inside. So the young man said I should just go on steroids for 1 week and then let's see what happens. After 1 week, he left. He said, this is the problem. That I should check the things I have been eating. Maybe there is one of them there. I should look at what I'm eating again. As at that point, I left groundnut. I left melon. In fact, everything oily, I left it. And then stayed on that story. After about 3 weeks, everything left till today. So if I'm to eat them, I eat them sparingly. You understand something? Not too much and not too small. Whenever I eat and it's like I'm beginning to feel somehow, I leave it. Hallelujah. So now, even Timothy, there was a point when he had stomach ache. And Apostle Paul said, for now, because of your constant ailments, take wine. It was not alcohol, please. It was fresh juice wine made from grape. Grape has some medicinal content in the fresh form because some teach this wrongly and they go and start drinking small stout. It was not that. Hallelujah. Now, it's not as if Paul could not pray for him and he would get healed. But there was a place he was living at that point in time. And the condition will always make him to break down. So Paul said, to manage your health, take this. But that was grape. Grape is not sweet. Grape has a bitter taste. How many of us know grape here? We know grape now, isn't it? It has a bitter taste. It is not good to suck. You can suck orange, you can suck tangerine, but you can't suck grape and lime. Grape has a little bitter taste. Lime has an acidic taste. But he said, take more of it because that little bitter content has medicinal value for the stomach. Hallelujah. Okay. Now, that was to teach us that most times when you pray, God, in fact, what prayer does, James said, he said, he's sick amongst you, let him do what? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them anoint him with oil. He said, the prayer of faith to do what? Will save that person. And if he has committed sin, it will what? Forgiven him. Now, at the place of prayer, God gives guidance on what to do to get out of that element. Are we understanding me here? So now, when I now came, I had to begin to pick water guard. Able to help myself here. And recently, I fetched water from there. For some time, I have not been picking from there. I've been picking from the borehole. Recently, I picked from there. I was so shocked. On the surface, it looks clean, but there's a smell that comes out of it. I had to pour, I don't know if you saw me with that thing. I poured that thing inside. If you go to my house now and see the things that had coagulated under, you will pity those who drink that water. Are you understanding me? So that God calls us to what? To responsibility. So that you don't get yourself infected and then your sanity begin to run helter-skelter. And then, thirdly, there's the issue of our body needing rest. Needing what? Rest. You know, there are sometimes Friday I will say, I couldn't come out of it. And I have shared the story of where in the mission field I was like, because of people will be coming, Pastor, pray for me. My head though, my children, no, sometimes late in the night. At the point I discovered it was like my spirit was leaving my body. It was because I had not taken care of my body. My body was now breaking down. I had to leave the field, went to town to rest and recover. And for 42 days, I was unconscious. Even in that state, people will come. Pastor, if there was a particular case, one girl, the hand had pulled off. She came and said, please pray, because they had known me. Pray for me. So I called her, laid hands. She fell under the anointing. The hand got back into place, but I was still not myself. Now, because the flow came from my spirit. My spirit was alive, was strong, but my soul was scattered, my body was sick. You understand something? It was the grace of God that kept me and then sustained me. Now God says He wants you alive. You understand something? So take care of your body. Take care of what? Your body. Protect yourself. Are there mosquitoes around you? Get mosquito nets. My driver here, when he moved from Maiduguri and then came here, at the point almost all of his house fell sick. His children, all of them fell sick. So I was like, how do they sleep? He said, they don't like sleeping on. I said, force them under the net, else you will spend all your money treating them. It was like this one will drop, this one will drop, this one will drop. And we tested and discovered that is where the problem was. So you protect yourself as a person. You understand something? Protect yourself. Protect your children. Cover yourself from mosquitoes and other things. You understand something? Now, where it's as if you can't afford it, yes, God will make proof. Now, where God knows you can afford something, God demands responsibility on your part in that area. Hallelujah. Please, let's not neglect ourselves and then not be able to live to the full age God demands of us. And then finally, your body is meant to help you reproduce. To help you do what? Reproduce. Help you bring forth other human beings into existence when you come of age. For those who are still children, those who are adults, you understand what is there. So these are the reasons why God has given us our body. And God demands one thing. He demands that we care for our, we do what? We care for our bodies. So that we're able to live long and live sustained lives. So children, when your parents give you mosquito net, sleep under that net so that you don't cause problems for them. Tell Abraham to raise his head. Tap Abraham to raise his head so that he will listen to me. Are you people understanding me? When daddy gives you mosquito net, get under that net so that you don't cause problems and headache for everybody in the house. And are you listening to me? If there's a net, sleep under that net. You keep yourself protected. If you go to the barbering salon to barb, now look at me, and if you go to the barbering salon to barb, and they want to barb, tell them to sterilize. You know what it means to sterilize something? It means to use either fire or miscellaneous spirit to cover that thing. Where you people have not been able to afford a personal clipper. You know something? Because if you don't, it is not only HIV that they can transfer to you, they can also transfer hepatitis B. And it's even more dangerous than HIV AIDS. So God demands what? Because as you go to that barbering salon and that boy carries that thing to barb, God demands that you talk. That you do what? You talk. Sterilize this thing or I will leave your barbering salon and go to somewhere else. Hallelujah. Please, let's not take things for granted anymore. I have looked at the spiritual connection where I said, be careful what you hear. Somebody says it will not be well with you. Please, cancel it on the spot. If you allow that word enter your ear, grab your soul, you can suffer the consequences of those words. Hallelujah. So there are patterns God has put in place in life, and he expects us. Do you realize that when God took Israel out of Egypt, he gave them a camp? God said something. God said, if you want to ease yourself, he said, leave the camp. Go very far from the camp. He said, carry a spade with you when you go. Dig the ground. Defecate on the ground. Cover it. Are you following me here? Now, that is why the government will keep kicking against open defecation, because when somebody defecates and that person was sick and people pass by and then perceive the thing and their immune system is not strong enough, they can contact sickness from it. In fact, these are things children learn in basic and primary science in school. Hallelujah. So it's very, very important. God has made provision to heal us. But that when he heals us, he expects us to do what? To protect ourselves, to be careful with ourselves. Be careful what you eat. Be careful how you eat. It's not everything you eat that is good for you. It might taste good, but it will be bad for you. Hallelujah. It's like the issue of alcohol, for instance. Most of them ask us and say, wait, is it in the Bible? Where the Bible says, don't take hot drink. But medically speaking, alcohol is a killer. It is synthesized in the liver. There's no alcoholic that has a healthy liver. That's the truth. And that is where their death starts from. So no matter how they eat, their skin will always look pale, because their liver cannot function properly again. Hallelujah. Now, most who break down under their diabetic conditions, because over time they have become so addicted to sugar. I know of a man who came back from the U.S. in Calabar there. This man will want to drink tea. He will carry saccharin. But you know saccharin? This concentrated sugar. He will carry saccharin and be drinking tea. In fact, we were like, this is big man food. He will be drinking tea with that. Do you realize that today the man is down with diabetes? Once he began seeing things around his face, he went to the hospital, they checked him, they said, oh God, you have diabetes. He was not responsible initially. The taste of that saccharin kept attracting, he kept eating it. And then over time, he broke down with something. Hallelujah. So God expects us to. You know, all of us that we are here, there are something Baba will eat. It will not be good for him. If I eat it, it will be what? Good for me. When you check and see whether there's something you eat that your body reacts to, please stop it. Do what? Stop it. So that you don't become a problem for everybody. Because when your health breaks down, it discomforts everybody. Yes. All of us will be running here, that's healthy. Isn't it? We will not be at rest because we want to make sure you are well. It will cost us time. It will cost us prayers. It will cost us money. Hallelujah. So this is wisdom God is passing across to us. Wisdom God is passing. It's even like this issue of snuff, for instance, now. That is tobacco. Yeah, it makes the person feel good, but the problem there is that as it enters your nostrils, there's nicotine inside. It becomes addictive in nature. It can affect your brain cells. The problem with this thing is that you do not see the effect on your brain cells. But if you go for medical examination and scan, you'll be shocked at what you will see. There was a man that smoked for a long time. He went to the hospital. And by the time his lung was scanned, it was discovered that his lung had become darkened in color. The doctor was like, do you smoke? He said, yes. He said, well, the voila is that as you smoke, the tar goes to your lung and is deposited there. His lifespan had been cut short after that. So that when God says don't, he looks at the health implications of that thing. Hallelujah. I pray that God will grant us grace to be able to manage ourselves along this line with this wisdom in the name of Jesus. And also once in a while, you don't need to fall sick. In fact, it's cheaper. You don't need to fall sick to go for medical examination. It is advised that even if it is once a year, it's enough. You go. You understand the thing? There are some who ordinarily they have been doing it. By the time they tell them they are done with cancer, most of what the doctors talk about is that because they have not had this practice of doing it. You understand the thing? When they go, they are now down. One, manage your health. It is called preventive medicine in medical terms. You manage your health. You're careful how you eat, how you rest, how you exercise yourself. You understand something? And then, curative is not always, it will cost you more money. So one of the ways of preventively managing your health is also, once in a year, you keep aside something, you just go, meet them. They will not take much from you when they are doing it. It won't cost more than 1,000 naira for an adult. They will just examine you, take your blood, take your urine, take your feces, check it. Most times you will discover something. There was something that happened. My uncle then was not always going for medical exam. I think it was after then he now took somebody as a personal physician, not for himself, but also for the whole family. He was eating so much, growing very fat. And then his wife became pregnant. So they said they wanted to, he went, there was something happened, they needed him to come, I think, they needed to take his blood for the wife. So he went, they tested him. In fact, they said his blood count was too high. He was so strong moving around, but in that state, they discovered he had malaria parasite. He would not have known, he would have broken down. And he was a heavy drinker. Immediately after that, that was when he started going to the hospital. Then all of a sudden, he crashed. His liver started breaking off. Hepatitis. So they were like, Oga, it is this drink you're drinking that has aggravated, that has made this thing become very bad on you. For weeks, none of us was resting in the house. There's a particular drug they gave him, Sobosan. He was always taking it, drinking it. If they crashed, his eyes turned green. He survived it. But the money he spent was so much. If he knew ahead of time, he would have abstained from alcohol, managed himself, not eat anyhow, he would have saved himself that stress. You know, there are some things we eat and we claim we are enjoying. We are killing ourselves. Anything that affects your senses, like alcohol, like cigarette, and anything that makes you become addicted, like cigarette, is not good for your health. Is not what? Good for your health. So God expects us to. In fact, God said, give hot drink to them that want to perish. You understand something? So give it to them that want to do what? Perish. Because it rumbles their senses, they cannot think straight. And that is where the intoxication, the addiction starts from. Works on the brain negatively. Affects the liver. So that even if it's once in a year, just walk into the room, let them look at you. You understand something? Then take care of yourself very well. So pray that God will, and then pray. And do what? Pray. Because at the point of prayer, God guides you. Like it was out of prayer, he now guided me on what to do. I was able to deal with that matter. Twice, and it happened. It went away. So pray that God will keep us healthy, keep us strong. And then guide us out of every ailment that comes upon us in the name of Jesus. We lift our heads together to pray this morning and then appreciate God. Just bow your head this morning and then thank God for this revelation, for what he has made available. Everything God has made is our good, to keep us healthy, to keep us strong and well. But he expects us to make right choices, not to walk foolishly, and then eventually have regrets. I want you to thank him and then ask him to grant you wisdom to manage your body as a person for his glory and for your blessing. Lord, give me wisdom to manage my body for your glory and for my blessing. Wisdom to manage my body for your glory and for my blessing. Wisdom to manage my body for your glory and for my blessing. Wisdom to manage my body for your glory and for my blessing, so that I can stay alive and then be a blessing to others, helping them get to know you, helping walk them out of sickness. Father, we thank you this morning in the mighty name of Jesus. Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you have shared with us this morning. We ask that this wisdom will remain with us and will help us, my Father, that we will not break down, but will be strong. Even as it was said concerning Moses, that at 120 years old, he was still very strong. His eyes did not grow dim. His physical strength did not go down. May that be our portion in the name of Jesus. We shall live long and not die to testify your goodness in the land of the living, my Father. Be thou glorified. Be exalted. For in the name of Jesus we have prayed.